Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. Today we are talking about the 1,260 days prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is Thursday, March 2nd of 2023, about 9 a.m. Texas time and 10 a.m. Washington, D.C. time. So that's 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. Every Thursday in 2023, we are on live on PGN Prophetic Grace Network, talking about the book of Revelation. I am Nicole, your book of Revelation research scientist, and I am excited about our discussion today, what God has given me to share with every truth seeker who is listening either live or from the archive. If you have a question about the book of Revelation, you are invited to text in your question using our PGN text number, which is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. You can text 24 hours a day. It will go to Randy Chandler, who, when he receives it, he will share it with me when he can. And at some point in a future broadcast, I will read your question or comment and answer it. So that's one way to connect to us. Also, during the live internet broadcast right now, if you're listening live on March 2nd, 2023, you're invited to call in our PGN phone number, 1-319-527-6027. You can use that phone number as a way to listen to what is happening live. You can also use it as a way to interact with the PGN host. So when you call the number, again, it's 1-319-527-6027, you can press 1. And if you press 1, it raises your hand in our virtual queue, and that lets me know that you want to talk to me. Maybe you have a question that you want to pose or a perspective you want to share. Perhaps you have a prayer request or all three. So you are invited and encouraged to do that. If you do not press 1 when you call the phone number, then I know that you're listening and that you don't wish to interact with me today. So that is fine. Sometimes people like to listen for a while, some weeks or months or even years, and then at the point when the individual feels comfortable, he or she will connect live with me or with Angela Joy or with Randy or Terrence and Tanisha. So I'm just thrilled that you are giving time to the book of Revelation. Today we're going to focus on the 1,260 days prophecy. You may have done this math in your mind. 1,260 days is exactly 42 30-day months. It is also exactly, if you are using 30-day months, it's also exactly 3.5 years. So today we're going to be talking about using language in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy. I am going to read it verbatim from the book of Revelation and then go verse by verse to talk about its meaning. Let's get a little bit of foundational context to understand what we're talking about and what it all means, and then get into the prophecies. What are the predictions from an omnipotent and omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing God who provided this information to an angel who shared it with John the Revelator? So what are we talking about here? The book of Revelation has 6 parts. It begins with a preface, followed by a formal introduction. The introduction is the second half of chapter one. It's a formal introduction. It's narrated by two people, both John the Revelator and Jesus Christ himself. So we have the first two parts there in chapter one. I want to jump to the end for a second to show you how it mirrors the beginning. So it starts with this formal introduction narrated by both John the Revelator and Jesus Christ, that second half of chapter one. And then the formal conclusion is in chapter 22, beginning with verse 6 all the way to the end. And just like the formal introduction is narrated by two people, you guessed it, it's the same two people, John the Revelator and Jesus Christ. So sometimes John is speaking, and then Jesus is speaking, and then John speaking again, and then Jesus is speaking. It switches off back and forth like that for both the formal introduction, which begins with verse 9 of chapter 1 and ends with chapter 1, as well as the formal conclusion, which begins with verse 6 of chapter 22, and it ends with the end of the chapter. So we have three parts, the preface, the formal introduction, and the formal conclusion. But what are the other three parts? In the beginning of the book of Revelation, we have two small sections. Like, these other three sections are fairly small. Chapters 2 and 3, John the Revelator drops out, and Jesus Christ only is speaking. So chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, 100% of those words are the verbatim words of Jesus Christ. All red letters, if you're looking at a red letter Bible, where the red letters are the words of Jesus Christ, 100% are the words of Jesus Christ, words that he shared for the seven churches that existed on this present earth at the time when John the Revelator lived on the earth. So now he's living as a disembodied spirit in heaven. But at the time when he penned the book of Revelation for those who would come after him, he lived on the earth, three in one, just like you, body, spirit, and soul. And so he was told that he needed to write down what he saw. I'm looking for that in chapter one, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. In the formal introduction, this is what Jesus Christ says to John the Revelator: write therefore the things you see, what they are and signify, and what is to take place hereafter. So he was told to do that. Verse 19 of chapter 1 in the formal introduction, and then Jesus Christ goes into what he wants to talk about. He had words of praise for most of the seven churches, as I recall. I think it's six of the seven. Then he had some words of correction for the seven churches. And then finally, what he shared with all seven of the churches is, here's what happens to everyone who's victorious. Now, why would he do that? Why would he share what happens to those who are victorious? You know, in life, there are challenges, trials, tribulations, and you need hope. You need to know, why am I enduring this all? What's the reward at the end? And so at the end, it is possible to get a reward. In fact, Jesus Christ has rewards for all who are victorious. So whether you were alive on the earth at the time of the seven churches, when John the Revelator was here, or whether you're alive today, March 2nd of 2023, there are rewards for all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to share with you what those rewards are noted, and if you love beautiful language, the Book of Revelation has so much beautiful language. Let's get some hope and inspiration from truths revealed by Jesus Christ himself in the Book of Revelation. So this is, I'm giving an overview of the six parts of the Book of Revelation. And so this is the fourth part, the fourth part that we're discussing. So what does Jesus Christ say? And this is for you, because I believe that you are a truth seeker. I believe that you're going to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the proof that you are victorious. So Jesus says in verse 7 of chapter 2, to him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Last night, if you were listening, Prophet Randy Chandler was talking about how amazing that fruit must be. He's talking about that. A very interesting program. I invite you and encourage you, if you weren't listening live, to go back to the archive and listen. Now, what else? For those of us who are victorious, Jesus Christ promises and says, he who overcomes is victorious shall in no way be injured by the second death. That's in verse 11 of chapter 2. Also, Jesus says about those who will be victorious, be loyally faithful unto death, even if you must die for it, and I will give you the crown of life. And then he says in verse 17, to him who overcomes, conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. And he further says in verse 23 of chapter 2, I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. Now, you can't work your way into salvation, but for those who are saved, Jesus promises that he will repay. So salvation is free. Payment for your sin debt was made by Jesus Christ. So you don't work your way into heaven. You don't deserve to get into heaven, but for everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, instead of the great white throne judgment, our judgment is to determine what number of rewards are you going to receive. It says in the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation, more about that. But let's stay here in chapters 2 and 3. Jesus also says at the end of chapter 2, and he who overcomes is victorious, and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations. And he shall rule them with the scepter rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. And his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you myself because he's the morning star. And I'm going to give you authority and power over the nations. So you might say, well, I don't want authority and power. Well, you know, today you might be a plumber or stay-at-home mom or a teacher or a nurse or perhaps you're a postal carrier or a cashier. In the millennial reign, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ, all members of the royal race, that's every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all the wheat who have participated in the first resurrection, also known as the marriage of the Lamb, also known as the rapture, all the wheat, all of those who are among the good fish, all the sheep, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be given a position of authority. That is the plan and purpose of God for your life, and it is coming, and you will love it. You will love it. And he also says, I will give you authority and power over the nations. What else does Jesus Christ promise? In his own words, he says, now in chapter 3, shall he who conquers is victorious be clad in white garments? So you're getting a new outfit. It will be a white garment. And I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels. This is very important. No one can gain entry to the new earth The new earth where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more mourning, no more death. No one can gain entry to the new earth unless his or her name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so Jesus says here explicitly, so that you will know, thus shall he who conquers, is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. So that book is very important. That book is very important. Let's continue. What else does he promise? He says in verse 10 of chapter 3, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. So when judgment day happens, and we'll be talking about the wrath of God later this year, Jesus Christ explicitly says, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world. Let's continue. In verse 12, he says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven in my own new name. So that's the mark of God. Jesus Christ promises that for every person who is victorious, every person who finds and follows God's plan for salvation, you will get the mark of God. Now that's the real mark. The counterfeit is the mark of the beast, as described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in Revelation chapter 13. But the real mark of God is described here in chapter 3, in the section on the seven letters to the seven churches, and in Revelation chapter 22 in the New Earth prophecy. But let's stay where we are. What else does Jesus Christ promise for every person who is victorious? Again, what does it mean to be victorious? Well, the proof that you are victorious is that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. The person who is victorious is the individual who has escaped the second death, the individual who is resurrected. In other words, the person who goes from having a mortal body, which is coded for death, the person has transitioned from a mortal body coded for death to an immortal body coded for eternal life. You need that resurrected body. You need to have that body that is coded for eternal life, that body that has perfect DNA, that body which is described as perfected, glorified, and incorruptible. Friend and truth seeker, you ought to reach for the immortality that Jesus Christ has promised. Now, what else does he promise here in verse 21, the end of Revelation chapter 3? He says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. Take home point. That's one of the six sections of the book of Revelation. If you want to hear the words of Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, all of chapters 2 and 3, that's one of the six sections, seven letters to seven churches. When Jesus shares those promises, he shares some of the promises to each church, but they're relevant for every person who is victorious. So they're relevant for every truth seeker out there. They're relevant for you and for me. Now, two more parts that we haven't discussed. John the Revelator, after we have the preface for the book, that's part one. Part two, the formal introduction, second half of chapter one. Then in chapters two and three, part three, the seven letters to the seven churches. Part four, John's report on heaven. So, you know, one of the things I love to do is I love to watch YouTube. There's a lot of junk on YouTube, but there's some great videos on YouTube. People sharing they had this experience, that experience. Some have reported that they died and went to heaven. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. What I do know is that John the Revelator, for sure, he went to heaven, and he provides to you and to me his report on heaven. Now, remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So everything in the Bible is 100% true. And in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, that entire chapter, it's John's report on heaven. So he's called up to heaven, starts like that, and then he tells us what he sees as he's in heaven. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me, like the calling of a war trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future.'" So before John shows us what must take place in the future, now how does he show us? So this voice calls him up to heaven, shows him pictures, moving pictures. She calls visions, shows him these visions, moving pictures. They didn't have that language at that time, moving pictures, movies, documentaries. We have that language today. So these weren't visions that he generated within himself. These were visions that were created outside of John the Revelator. And he was shown these visions while he was in heaven. But before he tells us what are the statements of prophecy, the visions that he was shown, he tells us what he sees in heaven. So very briefly, I just want to share some really interesting stuff. If you haven't had a chance to hear or read John's report on heaven, again, chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, you might want to look at it. One of the things he says is he sees some creatures, and he says in verse 7, "The first living creature being was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures individually having six wings were full of eyes all over." Then he talks about, you know, there's so much to say. I'm going to have to pause. I'll get off track. I just want to share with you that all of chapter 4 is John's report on heaven. And really, we got that foundation to talk about this. The bulk of the book of Revelation. So what are the other parts? The preface, the formal introduction, as well as the formal conclusion, the seven letters to the seven churches, and John's report on heaven. Beginning with chapter 5, after John's report on heaven, we have the visions, the moving pictures that John the Revelator was shown. Now, these are statements of prophecy. Later, in the formal conclusion, they're referred to as statements of prophecy. Earlier in chapter 1, they're referred to as prophecy. Let me share that with you so you know that I'm telling you exactly what it says. It says in verse 7, of chapter 22, so here in the formal conclusion, here Jesus is talking. Remember, the formal conclusion is narrated by both Jesus and John the Revelator. Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming speedily. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is he who observes and lays to heart and keeps the truths of the prophecy, the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this little book." And John the Revelator tells us that an angel said this to him in verse 6, the first verse of the conclusion, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, 'These statements,'" here it is, friend, "'these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true.'" And what does he mean, these statements? The statements of prophecy. So these visions, we don't get to see the visions that John was shown, the moving pictures, the movies. And by the way, he was shown 12 of them all in a row. We don't get to see the visions, but we have the words. He uses words to describe exactly what he was shown. So we have the statements of prophecy. Now we're getting to the take-home point. There are 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. You might say, you're taking a long time to get to the 1,260 days prophecy, and it's true. But I promise you, we're almost there. But this show is more than just simply reporting some prophecies that are in the Bible, although that's very important and useful. But it's about unlocking secrets. When you look at the book of Revelation, I want you to know it. I want you to understand it from start to finish. That's my goal. That's my assignment. That's my purpose in life. And so as God is revealing to me secrets of the book of Revelation, I'm sharing them with you because that's what I've been charged to do. Here's an important secret. So you already know there's 6 parts to the book of Revelation. Now, when you're looking at the prophecies in the book of Revelation, you need to know that you're looking at 12 documentaries. Now, what are the key milestones in the book of Revelation? Number one, the third temple exists in Jerusalem. So as you know, the red heifer, as you may know, the red heifer, September 15th, of 2022, something incredible happened. Lots of events happened. These have been discussed on PGN often. Take-home point for us right now. Israel, the nation of Israel, needs its own place of worship. And it had a temple in Jerusalem, which was destroyed. And then the temple was rebuilt. And that second temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Supernaturally, almost 2,000 years later, more than 1,800 years later, supernaturally, the nation of Israel came together again. After the people of Israel being dispersed to the far reaches of the earth, with the Jewish people living in so many nations, supernaturally, in 1948, Israel was brought together again as a nation in the same area which it had been before, not with the same borders, but in the same area. And here we are in 2023. The Christians have places to worship. The Muslims have places to worship. But the Jews do not have their temple. You might say, well, why not? That's a very good question. The Bible tells us that indeed they will rebuild the temple. And this is what some will refer to as the third temple era. Take home point for us. One of the milestones in the book of Revelation is when we look at prophecies where this third temple has already been rebuilt. So when we look at the seven trumpets prophecy, it's there. Now today, March 2nd of 2023, it's not there. The plans have been drawn up. The priests who will conduct the ceremonies in the temple, they have been assembled and trained. The red heifer. That's needed. This is the 10th red heifer, the red heifer that's needed in the for the ceremonies that must be conducted when the third temple is rebuilt. That red heifer is there. So these pieces are coming together. So what are the key milestones that we see in many of the statements of prophecy? There are 12 of them. They start with the seven trumpets prophecy. That's the first one, chapter 5. And then immediately after that, documentary, if you will. So John the Revelator was shown visions, moving pictures. Now, God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. So God has been in the future, created a curated experience for John the Revelator to see. The angel shows these moving pictures, these visions. They're essentially documentaries. So a movie is moving pictures. A documentary is a specific kind of movie. You might say, well, you're adding to the Bible. I'm not adding to the Bible. I'm explaining what we're looking at. That's very important. The book of Revelation is a very unique book. There's no other book like it in the Bible. There's no other book like it. Now, the bulk of the book are these 12 visions that John is shown. He showed them all in a row. It's like you're sitting down, you're about to watch 12 one-hour episodes about the same topic. And you could do that, right? You could do that, and that's what happened to John. He was shown 12 visions all about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the events leading up to it, the actual event, and the aftermath. So what are those key milestones that we see across the 12 statements of prophecy, these 12 visions? Well, number one, the third temple exists in Jerusalem. Number two, the wrath of Satan. That's the great tribulation. Number three, so I'm going in chronological order. After the third temple exists, let me list these and then go back. Third temple exists in Jerusalem. Second key event, the wrath of Satan. That's the great tribulation. The third key event, the wrath of God. So we are not appointed to the wrath of God. Okay, but there's a wrath of Satan, and that precedes the wrath of God. Next key event, the millennial reign, 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ. It's a transition period. We're on this corrupted earth. It'll be better, but still corrupted. The earth itself will be better. We'll be perfect. We'll be in our perfected, glorified bodies, but the earth will not yet be perfect. After the millennial reign, there's the great white throne judgment, and then finally the new earth and new heaven. So those are key milestone events that we see across the statements of prophecy. Let me share with you what those 12 statements of prophecy and where they are. Then we're going straight to the 1,260 days prophecy. So the first statement of prophecy, the first documentary in the book of Revelation is the seven seals prophecy. Begins with chapter 5 and ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. Now you might say, why are you telling me this? If you watch a documentary of an event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and then you watch a second documentary about it, and then a third, you might think, oh, Jesus Christ comes three times. When in reality, the second coming happens exactly one time. But you can talk about it as many times as you want. You could make 500 documentaries about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You could have 500 statements of prophecy. God in his wisdom decided to create 12 visions that were shown to John the Revelator and which are shared in the book of Revelation. The first one is the seven seals prophecy. The second one, which begins in verse 2 of chapter 8, is the seven trumpets prophecy. The third is the 1,260 days prophecy, which we're going to focus on today. The fourth moving picture, the fourth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So the 1,260 days prophecy is chapter 12 in its entirety. The 666 Antichrist prophecy, the fourth statement of prophecy in the order of their appearance, is chapter 13. Chapter 14 includes two statements of prophecy, but both about the same event, different groups connected to the event. Verses 1 to 5, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Verses 6 to 20 of chapter 14, the earth reaped prophecy. Now you might say, five verses is so short. It's true. Two of the 12 statements of prophecy are very short, but boy, do they pack a big punch. So this 144,000, who are they? We talked about it here, but we're going to talk about it again in May. We're just going to focus on that statement of prophecy. But for now, let's continue. The seventh statement of prophecy, the seven plagues prophecy, chapters 15 and 16 of the book of Revelation. The purple and scarlet prophecy, all about the harlot church, chapters 17 and 18. Chapters 17, 18, and the first few verses, 1 to 5 of Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to the end, the marriage supper prophecy. The 10th statement of prophecy is the millennial reign prophecy. So when we get to chapter 20, verses 1 to 10, the battle of Armageddon has been fought and won. Now, the last three statements of prophecy, everything that happens after the second coming of Jesus Christ. So 25%, in other words, three of the 12 statements of prophecy are about events that happen after the Battle of Armageddon, after the return of Jesus Christ. So the millennial reign prophecy is the 10th statement of prophecy. And then we have another five-verse prophecy, but boy, is it a big one. The dead judged prophecy, verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20, that's the great white throne judgment. That's the resurrection to eternal damnation. That's the event where the final enemies of God are destroyed, including death itself. So the dead judge prophecy is the 11th statement of prophecy. The last moving picture, the last vision, the last documentary about the second coming of Jesus Christ is the new earth prophecy. I love it. I love all these statements of prophecy, but I have to tell you, if you're in grief, if you, you know, all of us have a body that's coded for death. There's an exception, which is that those of us who are here on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're told we'll never fall asleep. We're just going to transition in the blink of an eye to our perfected, glorified bodies. But in the meantime, 100% of every human being, even David, right, even David, even Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh himself, even he experienced death. You know, it is a horror, the reality of the body being coded for death. We have a reach for immortality. So why do I love this new earth prophecy? So it begins with verse 1 of chapter 21, ends with verse 5 of chapter 22. When you read that new earth prophecy, you're going to come up out of grief. You're going to feel hope and inspiration and excitement, and you're going to realize there's something to look forward to. There's something to look forward to, a time where not only do you have a perfected, glorified, immortal body, but the earth itself is perfected and glorified and incorruptible. Do you ever feel sad when you see a tree die or flowers die? My best friend told me, you know, I'd like to buy you flowers, but I hate the way that they die. They don't last very long. You know, that's a part of the curse. When any part of creation experiences death, that is a part of the curse. Now, it's one thing for you and I to transition from mortality to immortality. That's an amazing and fantastic thing. But what about the earth itself in all of the creations? we are transitioning to an incorruptible new earth, an earth where all of the soil has the nutrients that it's supposed to have, all of the fruit is healthy, the air is clean and pristine, the waters will glisten and be restorative. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Okay, so what have we done and what are we about to do? We have learned that the book of Revelation has six parts. The part that is largest, percentage-wise, are the prophecies, the statements of prophecy. There are 12 of them. There are 12 of them, and the reason that you must know that there are 12 moving pictures, 12 visions that John the Revelator was shown is so that you don't get confused. You need this map. You need this map that God has provided. When I say God has provided, he has shown me that there are 12 statements of prophecy. I believe when you look at this, you'll agree. You need this because it's the only way to know the start and ending point so that you say, okay, this is how this ended. So when you go into the next statement of prophecy, you understand that you've gone back in time because now you're in a new documentary about the same event. So these statements of prophecy overlap often. But the Battle of Armageddon doesn't happen four times or even two times. It happens one time. Yet, the battle, I just want to give you this as a quick example. Then we're going to go to the 1,260 days prophecy. But just so you know, you have an example, a concrete example of what I'm talking about. The Battle of Armageddon, it does not happen four times. Yet, the Battle of Armageddon is discussed in the Seven Seals prophecy, the Seven Trumpets prophecy, the Earth Reaped prophecy, the Seven Plagues prophecy, the Purple and Scarlet prophecy, and the Marriage Supper prophecy. Now, the Marriage Supper prophecy, verses 6 to 21 of chapter 19, that is the Battle of Armageddon prophecy. So that's the documentary, that's the movie, if you will, that focuses nearly exclusively on the Battle of Armageddon. So you say, I want to know all about the Battle of Armageddon. It's mentioned briefly in these other statements of prophecy, but it is described in great detail in the Marriage Supper prophecy. Yet, we see it in... I just want to show you this quick example. I listed five other places, I think, where five other statements of prophecy that it's in, but let me share with you an example from that. So I mentioned that it's in the Earth Reaped prophecy. So at the end of the Earth Reaped prophecy, it says, in verses 19 and 20, so the angel swung his scythe on the earth and stripped the grapes and gathered the vintage from the vines of the earth and cast it into the huge winepress of God's indignation and wrath. And the grapes in the winepress were trodden outside the city, and blood poured from the winepress, reaching as high as horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia, about 200 miles. This is the Amplified Classic Translation. So what is that? Blood for 200 miles? The winepress? That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's the Battle of Armageddon. So we're told, now the Earth Reap prophecy, this is just an interesting note, but that's not the focus of that particular statement of prophecy, but the Battle of Armageddon is mentioned. It's a part of the timing of other things God wants to talk about and reveals in that statement of prophecy. But if you want to know how did we arrive at 200 miles of blood in Jerusalem, in Israel, 200 miles of blood, how did we arrive at that? When you look at another statement of prophecy, the one that focuses primarily on that, you see that there was the armies of heaven, and then there will be the armies led by the Antichrist and the kings of the world. They go to fight. Jesus uses his weapon, which is a sword that comes from his mouth, and 100% of the people in the armies are killed. 100% of them. So when they are killed, their blood flows. Not only their blood, but the blood, the animals that have been also a part of how they arrived at the location for the Battle of Armageddon. I'm going to pause there because I'll keep going. It's very exciting. Take-home point for you and I. We are about to focus on one of the 12 statements of prophecy. It is the 1,260 days prophecy. It's the third statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It begins and ends with chapter 12. Let's hear it. So as I mentioned earlier, 1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years, 42 months. So if you say each month is 30 days, 42 months. Some people refer to the Great Tribulation as having 7 years. It doesn't, but I know why that number comes up like that, I think, which is that there's a seven-year period. So that seven-year period begins with the signing of the confirmation of the covenant described in the book of Daniel. And 3.5 years after that happens, the Antichrist will stand in the rebuilt temple, noted in the seven trumpets prophecy in the book of Revelation. So we're waiting for that temple to be rebuilt. That is so key. That's the number one event that I'm looking forward to. The number one event I'm looking forward to is the marriage of the Lamb. But that's the number one event that's telling us Jesus Christ, we don't know the specific day or hour, but we know how many years it will be. That's what, let me just pause. So much to say. We're in the 1,260 days prophecy. That refers to the period of the Great Tribulation. 7 years, the confirmation of the covenant is the beginning of the seven-year period. Halfway through 7 years, so 7 years is 84 months, but the Bible refers to 42 months. And 1,260 days, as you're about to hear. Why? Because the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation, is exactly 1,260 days. So there is a ramp-up period. There is a 3.5-year ramp-up period. Okay? So there is a 7-year period, but the Great Tribulation itself is limited to a finite period of time. And it's noted both in Revelation chapter 12 and both as well as Revelation chapter 13 that it's exactly 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. Now, you might say, are you sure? Yes. Let's take a look at the Bible. You're going to hear that right now. Here's the 1,260 days prophecy. We're in Revelation chapter 12 begins with, then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, but she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. That is the 1,260 days prophecy. We're going to talk about it right now, and we're going to keep talking about it every Thursday and every Sunday live on this internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. This is the third statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. March is the third month of the year. And so we are talking about the third statement of prophecy in March. Every time we're on live, we're going to talk about this statement of prophecy. There's so much to talk about. I want to go straight to verse 13. It says, when the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, let's pause there. So you heard that there's going to be a war in heaven. Right now, as was the case when Job lived on the earth, Satan can appear before God the Father in heaven and report on the activities of people on the earth. He's the accuser of the brethren, reporting his perception of wrongdoing by individuals on the earth, essentially taunting God, saying, you think these are your people. You think that they love you. You think that they're doing right, that they're following your commandments, but aha! Look at this one. Look at John and what he's done. Look at Elizabeth and what she's done. Look at Malik and what he did yesterday. So he's the accuser of the brethren. But there's coming a time when he's thrown out of heaven. He is thrown out of heaven. So first he's going to be thrown out of heaven, as reported here in the 1,260 days prophecy. Now, he doesn't go out willingly. God doesn't say, it's time for you to leave, Satan. Get out of here. No, there's a war in heaven. And we're told in verse 7 of chapter 12, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle. You might say, well, isn't the dragon China? No. No. So we know that for two reasons. Right here it says in verse 9, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. So we know right there from verse 9 in the 1,260 days prophecy. We know the identity of the dragon. It's not China. It is Satan. We also know when we look in the millennial reign prophecy in chapter 20, verses 1 to 10, the dragon, that language is used, and again, it's the identity of the dragon is provided for us, and we're told that it's Satan. Now, first, Satan is removed from heaven forcibly removed from heaven. He'll be here on the earth. Now, that's a demotion. Imagine you're in heaven. It's amazing. It's beautiful. God is there. God the Father is there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh in an incorruptible human body. He's there. All the people who succeeded in life. So all the people who obeyed God, they are there. And it's a place where you can rest from your labors. It's fantastic. Now, it is a storage tank. As Randy Chandler has said repeatedly, heaven's a storage tank. It's a temporary location. Randy Alcorn, the prolific author who writes about heaven, he refers to it as a layover. A layover. So you're going on a flight. You're going on a flight. Well, where does your flight end? It ends right back here. You leave the earth. Every person who's victorious, you fly up two in one, your same soul, mind, will, and emotions, your same spirit, they fly from this present earth to heaven. I'm saying fly. Do you literally fly? I don't know. But we're using this analogy of heaven as a layover. So you arrive in heaven. You live there temporarily. It's a storage place for who? All whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who have experienced the first death. But Randy Alcorn refers to it as a layover. Why? Because then when the marriage of the Lamb happens, when Jesus Christ returns, the first thing he does is he resurrects your body. So maybe the DNA of your body, it's in the earth, maybe it's in the sea, wherever it is reconstituted, and all the errors have been removed, and your new body emerges, and you put it on. You put it on permanently. And so, Satan is relocated to this present earth, and then later, he's relocated to the bottomless pit. But let's stay where we are. Now, when he's on this earth, in our future, it says, when the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now, let's talk about this. Who gave birth to the male child? The nation of Israel gave birth to the male child. Now, you might say, I'm not sure about that. Let's continue. That's verse 13. Verse 17 says, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. Now, who are the children of Israel? It says, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. So us Gentiles, we're grafted in. We're the wild olive tree. So the 1,260 days prophecy is about what happens during the 1,260 days, the wrath of Satan, the great tribulation to Israel, how it all came to be. And then chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, is about what happens during these 1,260 days to the church, and what are the specific actions of the false prophet who will work in tandem with the Antichrist, and who is the 10 Nation Alliance. Now, let's back up for a second. Now, it says at the beginning of this prophecy, I saw a large red dragon, so we know the dragon is Satan, with 7 heads and 10 horns. Let's pause there for a second. 7 heads and 10 horns. these seven heads and ten horns are described in Daniel chapter 7, as well as Revelation chapter 13. Let's get this. What are the seven heads and ten horns with seven crowns on his heads? Why does the dragon, again, the red dragon is not China, it's Satan. Why does Satan have seven crowns on his head? And it says seven heads and ten horns with seven crowns on his heads. You need keys from other places in the Bible to unlock this secret, and we're about to unlock it. The ten horns represent the ten nations in the ten-nation alliance that will be led by the Antichrist. That's described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, Revelation chapter 13. You might say, well, why is something described in another statement of prophecy mentioned in this statement of prophecy? Again, we have 12 documentaries in words all about the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as the events leading up to it and the events following. So the focus of this particular documentary is, well, what about Jesus Christ? How did he arrive? And what is Satan's posture specifically towards Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Let's take a look at why I say that. We're told right from the beginning that Israel was pregnant and that she gave birth, and that when Israel gave birth, Satan was ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. Now, you'll recall from what you know about the Bible that they were looking for Jesus Christ. They killed the male children. They were trying to take Jesus Christ out, and it just didn't happen. They were trying to take him out. It didn't happen. And it says, she gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. Now, if there's any confusion about this, now, who gave birth to Jesus Christ? The church, the Gentiles came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ later. It was those in the nation of Israel, all 12 disciples were children of the promise, children of Abraham, but the ones who were of the promise made to Abraham and Sarah. So that nation gave birth to a son. Who's the son? Jesus Christ. How do we know it's Jesus Christ? It says right here in verse 5, a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. Now, we're told in the book of Revelation that he will rule with an iron rod. In the seven letters to the seven churches, we're told about how you'll get an iron rod, like the one that he has to rule and reign. Let's go take a look at that. And we're also told, let's take a look at that. You'll remember from earlier today, one of the promises of God is that he will give you an iron rod in Revelation 2, verse 27, and he shall rule them with a scepter rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father. I will give him authority and power over the nation. So here he promises to give all who are victorious a scepter rod of iron like the one that he has. Okay, let's continue. So that rod of iron is mentioned several places in the book of Revelation. We're talking about the reality that the Son is Jesus Christ. We're also told here, and her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. Let's hear all of verse 5. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, this all happened very fast. One of the things you'll see in these statements of prophecy is that long periods of time are covered in a singular verse. In a single verse, long periods of time are covered. Why? Because God is telling the story using the timing that he wants. So in a documentary, there's so much to cover, you have to pick and choose what parts of the story you're going to tell, which is why we have 12 statements of prophecy instead of one. That's why we have 12 statements of prophecy instead of one. Here God is saying, let me tell you the story of Jesus Christ and how he came from Israel and what Israel experiences as a result of the reality that Jesus Christ comes from Israel. That's what he wants to talk about, and that is what he is talking about here. So again, she gave birth to a son, that's Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. So he was to rule all nations. So when he came as the Lamb of God, he did not rule any nation at that time, but he was to rule, so he's destined to rule. It hasn't happened yet. It says, and her child was snatched away from the dragon, so Satan didn't get Jesus Christ, and was caught up to God and to his throne. Well, when did that happen? When he rose from the grave, after he died on the cross, 3.5 days later, he rose from the grave. He walked the earth for many days, and then he ascended. They watched him ascend. He just literally, in his glorified, perfected, immortal body, he started rising up, and he rose up, and it's described here as he was caught up to God and to his throne. Then it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Now, we have fast-forwarded in time from verse 5 to verse 6. Now, the 1,260 days is more than 2,000 years after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Now, think about that. Think about that. You have to understand, we must understand when we're looking at the book of Revelation where we are in time and where we are, which statement of prophecy. So, talking about Israel and what specifically happens to Israel during the 1,260 days, let's look at verses 13 to 18. So what is going to happen after the temple is rebuilt? So this statement of prophecy, this is after the third temple has been rebuilt. The dragon realizes that he's been thrown down to the earth, and he pursues the woman who had given birth to the male child. So there's a distinction made here between the woman and the rest of her children. So verse 13 is talking about what is going to happen to Israel, and then there's a reference at the very end, verse 17, to the rest of her children, and then in the next statement of prophecy, it's all about what happens to her children. Okay, did you hear that? So, verse 15, verses 13 to 16, let's hear them. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. That's Israel. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle. Let's pause there for a second. Who's the great eagle? I believe when you look at both of these prophecies that focus primarily on 1,260 days, what are they? Chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy, and chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, God uses the same language that he used when he showed the prophet Daniel the 10-nation alliance that will be led by the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 7, the 10-nation alliance is described. Just due to time constraints, I'm going to have to wait till another program to get the details on that. But let me say this. In Revelation chapter 13, we're told, "And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion." So there are four symbols, four animals that are used to communicate the identity of specific nations that will be here on the present earth during the 1,260 days. Now, who is the bear? It's Russia. Who is the lion? Great Britain. Who is the leopard? It's Germany. Now, if you have been paying attention to the news, you have seen over and over again talk about the leopard, the leopard, the leopard. What is that? That's the tank that's generated by the nation of Germany. That's the tank that Ukraine says they need, the leopard. That's the tank that's considered the number one tank for warfare in the Western world. Now, here in the 1,260 days prophecy, we're told, "But she was given two wings," who's she? Israel, "like those of a great eagle." Who is the eagle? I know you've caught on to it. The eagle is the United States of America. That is my perception. Irvin Baxter has some great teachings on the identities of these nations connected to this. I'm persuaded that he is correct about that, and I'm sharing that from study that he's done and communicated, and he has references that he presents. If you haven't heard his teaching on that, I encourage you to listen to it. So let's talk about here the eagle and Israel. As you know, the United States has a long history with the nation of Israel. We are a friend of Israel. Now, you could debate the success or failure of every president of the United States. What are their successes? What are their failures? Usually people are unhappy with the president because he or she hasn't done everything that you wanted them to do. But if you look at the presidency of Donald Trump, one of the things that he did was to move forward with our strong relationship as a nation with Israel. Now, it says right here, in our future, the United States will be a great eagle. Now, we will not be the center of political and economic affairs that we have been in the past. I love the United States of America. I am an American, but I am in agreement with God, and God has shared repeatedly in the book of Revelation that the seat of political and economic affairs during the 1,260 days, after the temple has been rebuilt, after that ramp-up period, the center of economic and political affairs will be in Europe, and it will be comprised of a 10-nation alliance that includes specifically Germany, and it will include Great Britain, and it will include Russia and seven other nations. Satan will be the power behind it. In this prophecy, we're told that Satan's the power behind it. Now, how do we know that? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "I saw a large red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns with seven crowns on his heads." Now, the 10 horns represent the 10 nations. That's mentioned in the purple and scarlet prophecy in the book of Revelation and in Daniel chapter 7. Now, we're told in Daniel that the 10 nations will have 10 kings, but the Antichrist will rise up, and he will push down 3 of those kings and take over from them. And so now we go to 10. To 7, with 3 being taken out, and the Antichrist being the leader. So that's in Daniel chapter 7. You know, let me see if I can. I think we have just enough time. Let me go there to share that with you. So, again, in this prophecy, we're talking about what happens to the nation of Israel during the Great Tribulation. And what happens is that they're given help by the United States of America. And I'm going to Daniel chapter 7. And it says in Daniel chapter 7, let me pull it up on my computer. I have it written, but the printed out, but the font is so small. I want to make sure that I can read this well. So we're talking about the reality that Satan is the power behind the 10-nation alliance, and this 10-nation alliance will exist during the Great Tribulation, which is described in Revelation chapter 12. And Daniel says in Daniel 7, verse 2, in my vision that night, I, Daniel, saw a great storm churning the surface of a great sea with strong winds blowing from every direction. Then 4 huge beasts came up out of the water, each different from the others. The first beast was like a lion with eagle's wings. As I watched, its wings were pulled off, and it was left standing with its 2 hind feet on the ground like a human being, and it was given a human mind. Then I saw a second beast, and it looked like a bear. It was rearing up on one side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and I heard a voice saying to it, get up, devour the flesh of many people. Then the third of these strange beasts appeared, and it looked like a leopard. It had 4 bird's wings on its back, and it had 4 heads. Great authority was given to this beast. Then in my vision that night, I saw a 4th beast. Here it is, friend. Terrifying, dreadful, and very strong. It devoured and crushed its victims with huge iron teeth and trampled their remains beneath its feet. It was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. All right, so we're more than 600 years ago. We're in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and it's talking about a beast with 10 horns, the same 10 horns that are described in Revelation chapter 12. The same bear described in Revelation 13, the same eagle right here in Daniel 7 described in Revelation chapter 12 as well. Now let's continue here in Daniel. As I was looking at the horn, so talking about the 10-nation alliance that's going to exist during the Great Tribulation that will include Germany, Great Britain, and Russia, it says, as I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. 3 of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. This little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. Did you hear that? So, take-home point as we are examining what happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation. That's what this statement of prophecy. You might say, well, I want to know about what happens to the church. Me too. That's in Revelation 13. But right now, God has something else on his mind. He's talking about what happens to the woman who gave birth to the child who was caught up to heaven. The child that Satan wanted to take out, but he couldn't take out. Now we're told, let's hear it again. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. So during the Great Tribulation, Satan will be pursuing the nation of Israel. Friend, there's going to be another Jewish Holocaust. I hate that. I don't want to say that. But the reality is it's right here in the book of Revelation. It says, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. It's also in Zechariah, the last 3 chapters of Zechariah, which we talked about in February, when we talked about the seven trumpets prophecy, but let's stay here where we are. He pursued the woman, talking about Israel, who had given birth to the male child. So John the Revelator is telling us what happened in the moving picture he was shown, in the vision, in the documentary about our future, but it hasn't happened yet. So Satan is going to pursue Israel because of its connection to its supernatural relationship, its position with the kingdom of God and with God the Father and Jesus Christ. It says, but she was given, who? Israel was given two wings like those of a great eagle. Now, why was Israel given two wings? So she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected. So Israel will experience protection. How? How? When the whole world turns against Israel due to the discussion and the reports and the activities of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to say, I'm here. I am the Jesus. I am the Mahdi. I am the Buddha. I'm everything you've been waiting for. I am the Messiah. I'm going to bring peace to this earth. And how I'm going to do it? I got to take out Israel. That's our problem. That's why we can't have peace on earth. It's because of Israel. We're told that in the book of Daniel. And he's going to stop the animal sacrifices. So they'll be doing the ceremonies, which include animal sacrifices. He's going to stop that. And you know the animal lovers, many of you are animal lovers. I certainly am, but the people will not understand. Why is Israel murdering? Why are these priests killing innocent animals? And the outrage. And people will be angry. The Antichrist will use this to build anti-Jewish sentiment. Nonetheless, the United States will help Israel. Israel will be cared for and protected from the dragon, it says. Did you hear that? For a time, times, and half a time. Now, what is that? A time is 1 year. In Bible talk, times is 2 years, and half a time is half a year. Well, what's 1 + 2 + 1/2? That's 3 1/2. 3 1/2 what? 3 1/2 years. 42 months. 1,260 days. So we're told that this prophecy is about 1,260 days in verse 5 of chapter 12. And again, in verse 13, of chapter 12. Now what's going to happen? Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with the flood of water. So they're going to try to take out Israel, the Jewish people who will be residing in Israel during the rule and reign of the Antichrist and this 10-nation alliance, using water, but supernaturally, God is going to cause the earth to open its mouth and swallow the water. And then it says, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. So when this happens, Satan's going to be so mad that the United States and all the Christians in the United States, that Christian nation has been helping Israel, and now the earth opens up. I thought I was going to be able to take them out, but I didn't. So then the war is on against the church as well, and that's described in Revelation chapter 13. So, interesting points, a few key highlights. The 1,260 days reveals that during the Great Tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan, there will be a 10-nation alliance. There will be seven leaders of the 10-nation alliance. Satan, who will be on the earth, Satan will be on the earth at some point. I don't know exactly when during this 1,260 days, but at some point in this timing, he is relocated from heaven to the earth. He is banned from heaven. He cannot re-enter heaven, and he is mad about it. He comes after Israel. Now, he's been after Israel. Now, we see this. It starts off telling us in the beginning of what? In the beginning, when Jesus Christ was born, Satan wanted to take him out then, but he failed. But he hasn't forgotten about how Israel is the reason that he is going to lose his power and dominion over this earth. And so, thousands of years later, during the time of the Third Temple era, once the Third Temple has been rebuilt and it is here on this present earth in Israel, during this timing, when Satan is on this earth, inspiring the actions and activities of the Antichrist, who will lead a 10-nation alliance, which will be in Europe, where economic and political affairs that dominate the world will happen as a result of this 10-nation alliance, Israel will be under attack. The Antichrist and the nations of the world will be against Israel. But the United States of America, we will be a great nation, not as great as we were in the past. Our power must decrease so that the power of the 10-nation alliance can increase. But Israel will be kept safe for 3.5 years, and the wrath of Satan, it comes to an end, and it's followed by the wrath of God. It comes to an end. The Great Tribulation is limited to 3.5 years, and the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. The wrath of God culminates with the Battle of Armageddon, where he fights and wins a war on behalf of the woman, on behalf of Israel. And when he wins that war, it ushers in the commencement of the first 1,000 years of the kingdom of God on this present earth. Thank you for being with me and with us. We're going to continue our discussion of the 1,260 days prophecy on Sunday at 12 p.m. Texas time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern time. I urge you, call out to God, and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.